Precious and holy Father, we bow our hearts before you. You are our God. There's a whole universe of reality that you have for us, grace upon grace. A universe of reality that your word is designed to open to our hearts. It is a humongous mystery. A humongous mystery, O God, that is meant to be open to our hearts and developed through our lives, so that we will become possessors of the inheritance and the possession that you have given us in the name of Jesus. That we will realize all that the testimony of Jesus is designed to bring forth in our lives. That we are to realize that creative work that your word is designed to manifest in us, making us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, new beings, O God. So come alive to us through your word, that we may understand your thoughts, that we may understand the kind intentions of your will, that we will understand what you are able to do versus what we can do in ourselves, that we will realize the immensity of the power that stands, O God, in that word that you are releasing to us, that word that can create us, that word that can transform us, that word that can transfigure us, that word that can enlighten us, that word that can change us, that word that can fashion in us a new mind, a new heart, a pure heart, a clean heart. The word that comes with a nature and a character that will make us an entirely new man and a new woman, O God. Father, bless us with your word of grace, that we may understand that you have called us to be blessed in heavenly places, in phenomenal terms. In the universe that you have created, we are meant to be inheritors and possessors of an inheritance and a possession that will continue to be opened to us in all eternity. Bless us with your word of grace. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we turn to Matthew chapter 13? Matthew chapter 13 is about the parable of the sower. I just want to read a couple of verses that in which Jesus Christ is telling us something that is of extremely great importance to us. Verse 11. We are talking about the mysteries of the kingdom. And he answered and said to them, verse 11, chapter 13, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Verse 16. "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Verse 23. "And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. 30-fold simply means 30 times 100%. 100-fold means 100 times 100%. Mysteries of the kingdom inherent to the seed of the word. And the seed of the word has the potential to bear fruit in your life in 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold measures. Today we want to talk about the word of grace. So turn with me, please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Last week we talked about the word that brings faith into our lives. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ or the word of God. Today we want to talk about the word of grace. "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified." Sanctified meaning made holy. Alright, so last week we talked about faith, the substance that comes out of that faith. It comes by hearing the word of God. It comes by understanding the Word of God. It comes by accepting the Word of God. It comes by holding the Word of God in a good and honest heart and living that Word. And in that way, that Word is perfected inside of you. Today we are talking about the Word of grace that is able to build you up and give you. The Word is designed to give you the riches of the Father's heart. The world tells us that we have to strive continuously in order to have anything in the world. And then we have to keep on striving to keep it. That's what our life has taught us. And in the end, we are involved in a continual rat race. We chase the cheese. And when the cheese is not there, we still keep chasing. Just as it would happen if you were to do it in a laboratory experiment. The rat will go after the cheese, even if the cheese is not there. Once it's conditioned to the reality of how cheese is provided. So we are not rats, we are sons of God. And we are sons of God designed to realize the word of His grace, which is able to build us up and to give us the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I just want to first talk about the word sanctified. Because many people think sanctification is a religious obligation. Sanctification is based on what we do. Yes, there is a little bit that is based on what we do. But sanctification is primarily based on what God does. And I want to show you that. You know that faith is the substance of hope. That word substance is the Greek word hypostasis. Right? Hypostasis. Right? I just want to put a few verses together because we have taught on this before, but I just want to do that for those who are new. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 first in the King James Bible or the New King James Bible. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now the Greek word there for substance is the Greek word hypostasis. All right? Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. If we hold the beginning of our confidence, hypostasis. So if we hold fast to that confidence or that hypostasis, the first line reads, we become partakers of Christ. Can you catch that? We become partakers of Christ. Something of the substance of Christ comes alive inside of us. Have you got that? So what is the primary intent of faith? Faith is designed so that you will receive the substance of Christ. Now how can you ensure that you receive the substance of Christ? You will receive the substance of Christ if your hope is always on Christ. And your hope is not based on a blessing. And your hope is not based on a principle, and your hope is not based on this and that, but based on Christ and the finished work of the cross. Are you understanding that? Yeah? Got that? All right. Okay, now let's turn to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, remember we are talking about the word sanctified, right? To be made holy. Leviticus chapter 21 verse 22. A strange verse this. Moses writes this down. And yet you find that in the practice of the Levitical priesthood, there was no such thing as this. He may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Of the holy, the priesthood took part. It was called the showbread. If you know that the design of the tabernacle that Moses built, there was a holy place and there was a table called the table of showbread or the table of the bread of the presence. And the priest was entitled to eat the bread that was there. That was the bread of the holy. But what is this bread of the most holy that he is talking about? Because at the time when he wrote this, there was no such thing as the bread of the holy. Although the children of Israel were fed with manna that came down out of heaven. And when the manna stopped, right? They took that manna that was the remnant and they put it in a jar and put it into the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies. You don't find that recorded in the Old Testament. At least I've not found it. But you find that in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. So this golden jar holding the manna is what is prophetically the bread of the most holy. I want you to understand something that is being communicated in this verse that we read from Leviticus. That the presence of God is tied to bread. And the reality of the most holy is also tied to bread. That bread, to us in the new covenant, is the substance that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. What Jesus calls, this is my flesh. If you do not eat of this flesh, you will have no life in you. Different Greek words are being used, but the idea is simply this, that holiness comes out of substance that God has to provide for you. Substance that God has to provide for you. I don't want to go into that anymore, simply because it's a different message altogether. But what I want to help you understand at this point, that being sanctified so that you can have the word of grace is entirely based on your focus on Jesus Christ. Are you with me? That the process of being sanctified is fundamentally based on this, setting your hope on Jesus. And from Jesus you will receive the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy. The bread of the holy will fashion your soul. The bread of the most holy will fashion your spirit. Your soul is designed to be in the presence of God. Your spirit is designed to be in the mount of the Lord. Alive to realities that stand in the mount of the Lord. Both realities flow out of your heart. That means your heart has the capacity to move with your spirit into the mount of the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is the Holy of Holies. If you have a pure heart, if you have a soul that is right before God, you will always be alive to His presence. What's the key word? Hope. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19. If you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul is anchored behind the veil at the speed of thought. 1 John chapter 3 verse 3. If you set your hope on Jesus Christ, you will be purified even as He is pure. So if you are going to be purified and I am going to be purified even as He is pure, that is sanctification. It is amazing that the process of sanctification flows out of this willingness to always set our hope on the Lord. No matter what happens in our life, we never waver from this hope on the Lord. No matter what is happening in our physical world around us, what we are afflicted with, our hope must be fixed on Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Right? So this expression of hope is fundamental to God's grace. So He says the word of His grace is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance that you can realize as part of those who are being sanctified by the Lord. Are you with me? Sanctified how? Through a process of hope that never wavers, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That in Jesus Christ, I will realize every blessing that the Bible speaks of. Not because I'm good enough for it, but because He is everything to me. He is God's provision for me. That given time, what God has provided for me in Jesus Christ will equip me for every good and perfect thing. Got that? Yeah, that's part of the mystery of the kingdom. That is part of the mystery of the kingdom that operates on the basis of grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. For of His fullness, John 1:16, of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And the fullness of Jesus Christ manifests to us as the bread of the holy for our soul, and the bread of the most holy for our spirit, and we are meant to be a holy people. Holiness is not impossible for you and me. Holiness comes to us as part of grace upon grace. Are you listening? For of His fullness we have all received. All. We have all received, not earned. The system of the world says if you want to have something, you've got to earn it, lad. If you don't work hard enough, it ain't going to be given to you. You've got to go out and get it. We sometimes teach Christianity on that basis too. But if you look at the calendar, the prophetic calendar that God has in the Jewish feast, you will find that it is entirely structured on the basis of Sabbath rest. Cycles of 7-year Sabbaths. Dovetailing in a jubilee year when you are given freedom. The slave is given total and complete freedom. Every bondage is removed. What does 50 represent? Grace completed. 5 by 10. 5 is the number of grace. 10 is the number of completion. So of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. And what did the law of Moses tell you? That you are a sinner, and I am a sinner, and the wages of sin is death. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace to enable you to do what you can't do. Truth to set you free. What I just repeated to you is called the word of grace. The word of His grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Notice the word inheritance. Not by merit, but based on what God has described in His Son. We need to have a transformation of our thought processes. God is by name the provider. He provides all things in His universe. That which He does not provide will never stand the test of time. It will die. That which He does not provide, that which He does not sustain, will die. How are you and I going to live eternally? By the breath of God that will sustain us eternally. By the life that flows from His own heart. Everything flows out of Him. By the anointings that we learn how to function in the right way. All that will flow out of Him. Doing something in the right way is part of the reality that is called Yahweh Sitkanu. I am who I am. I am your righteousness. So grace is designed to give you. Thank God you don't have to earn it, isn't it? Because if you had to earn it based on the law, it will mean that you have to be sinless in everything that you do. Otherwise, you cannot get anything. That is what is so difficult about the law. The law says you break one law, you've broken all the law. So if you break the law, what can you get from God? Theoretically, nothing. Am I right? Can you see that? If God has got no process of forgiveness inside of there based on grace, you will never come to get anything from God, because you will never be able to earn it, because you are by nature sinful. How on earth are you going to get something from God who is a holy God? Yeah? But if you understand that he has structured the new covenant based on grace, not because he condones sin, but because he is able to deal with the character and nature of you and me through Jesus Christ. How? By providing us with the character and nature of Jesus Christ that has been tested and put to test on the cross and been invested with resurrection power and is now being opened to us grace upon grace through the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't simply come to us and say, "My son, here I am, I'm giving you this anointing, you can rise and do whatever you want to do with it." No, it comes with a nature and a character that God wants to work inside of you. The Word of God in the New Covenant comes on the basis of a person who has a character and a nature that was given to you through the cross. A person who said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." But then he expressed the faith and the love that will enable us to do what we are, what we should be doing. Are you listening? Are you listening? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." I want you to catch this reality, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think. How do you like that? But you see, if you don't ask and you don't think, that reality won't operate. God wants you to ask, God wants you to think, and he wants you to understand that he's not going to deal with you according to your thoughts. He's going to deal with you beyond all that you ask or even think, because he is dealing with you in the realm of his thoughts and his desires and his ambitions over your life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made in his image. But there is a word there that says that he can only give you according to the power that works within you. That power, dunamis, comes out of the witness of the cross. It is not a magician's power. Alagaza, alagazum, the rat become a prince. Not that kind of power, magician's power. But the power that is perfected in us as we receive what God has given us through the cross in Jesus Christ. That response has to be there. That response is very simple. Set your hope on the Lord. So when you look at grace, it starts with the Levitical sacrifices. That's where God defines grace. Five sacrifices. Sin offering for unintentional sin. The sin that we commit by nature. How does God deal with it? Through the sacrifice of Jesus. How does he deal with your unintentional sin nature and my unintentional sin nature? He brings into us the nature of Jesus Christ. Amen? You remember when you were born again, you suddenly wanted to do things that you didn't want to do? You suddenly saw things that you could not see before? Whose nature was that? That was the nature of Jesus Christ, manifested you into you as a seed. Seed of God's faith for your life. The seed of Christ. Amen. Now in that seed, God gave you something that is of the fullness of Christ Jesus. And he says, it is there. It is available to be grown in you, provided you respond to him. I can't force you because I gave you a free will nature. But I'm telling you this, my grace is open to you if you're willing to set your hope on my son. In the sin offering, I'm telling you that I can change your nature. That's what I'm telling you, because the sin offering has been offered in my son's sacrifice. And what that sacrifice is giving you is a nature that has been perfected in the light of man's evil. Guilt offering, deliberate sin. And God says, right, that I can deal with your sin, your guilt nature too. That part of you that deliberately sins. I can cause you to walk in my statutes. So Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 27 says, God will put his spirit within us and he will cause us to walk in his ways. If God can cause you and me to do something, then we can do anything that is right and true. Can you catch the picture? How? By grace. But grace is based on the fact that you are willing to go after what is right and you will turn away from what is wrong. That means when you do something wrong, you will take it before the Lord and you will address the issue and not bury it under the carpet and think it will just pass away because I'm under grace. Grace means this, that you will address that sin and say, Lord, I sinned against you 19 times today. But I know you can deal with it because, Lord, I've been an angry person for a long, long time. I've been a selfish, self-centered person for a long, long time. I've been living for my own egotistical ends for a long, long time. Oh, Lord, set me free. Give me the nature and character of your precious son. I want to be like Jesus. I want to think like Jesus. I want to behave like him. I want to see another human being as Jesus saw that person, not as I see them. I want to get rid of this pride and this arrogance and this stubbornness and this selfishness and this self-centeredness. I'm done with this bitterness. Now that's how you exercise your hope on the Lord. And when you exercise your hope on the Lord, it kickstarts the operation of grace in your life. But grace is not a cop-out. Grace is based on this, that something of Jesus Christ you have willingly chosen to receive from the Lord. Then grace operates. Why? Because grace operates by faith. Faith is designed to manifest in substance. Whose substance? Jesus' substance. Can you see that? Five sacrifices in the Levitical chapters. Five sacrifices symbolizing grace. So we have talked about two. The third sacrifice was called a burnt offering. A burnt offering is called an offering of consecration, being set apart unto God. Even that is provided for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There are tapes at the back that talk about all these things. It is under Module 6 that talks about the processes of salvation. There's a whole bunch of tapes there at the back. You can pick them up and go into the details of what it means that God has given you in the processes of salvation. But fundamentally, consecration comes out of the cross. That means to be set apart unto God can only manifest in you and me if we receive and realize of the witness and testimony of Jesus. Jesus was fully consecrated for the glory of the Father. He had no other desire in his life. The peace offering. In the peace offering, the inward parts of the animal, the liver, the kidneys, and all the fat and the entrails around that was put on the altar and fired. And God said in Leviticus chapter 3 verse 16, all fat belongs to the Lord. All fat belongs to the Lord. That fat is the anointing, the Spirit of Christ, that will enable you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You need to understand it is part of grace. Jesus says, my words to you are spirit and life. That word spirit is the anointing that will enable you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Comes to you grace upon grace. Listening, to enable you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It is already inbuilt there. God has given it to you through Christ. The meal offering. The meal offering was basically cakes or bread or something like that. And it was divided into two parts. One part was shared with the priesthood. The other part was put on the altar and fired. And that's where the grace that God showers into your life is perfected into your life. What's fired from your heart? Why do you do anything that you do? For what reason? What you give outwardly is your ministry. Maybe you're a mother looking after your kids. But what's in your heart as you raise up those kids? Is it consistent with the testimony of Jesus? Lord, these children, my children, belong to you. So often we want to bless our children. And God is saying, if they don't belong to me, there's no meaning to the blessing. Because even if I anoint them and I bless them, you will lose them because they do not belong to me. Only that which belongs to me will be sustained by me. All this is grace. Grace is a powerful word. Very powerful word. It is the basis on which God functions in our life. He deals with us not on the basis of the law, but upon by grace. But never think that grace is a cop-out. Grace is only based because of the finished work of the cross. If there was no finished work of the cross, there would be absolutely no grace. God will hit you like a sledgehammer, and he will hit me like a sledgehammer because he is a holy God. He has got no tolerance for sin. Absolutely no tolerance for sin, no tolerance for evil. He will destroy it. But grace is given on the basis that God is prepared to work with you and me on the basis of the finished work of the cross. And the finished work of the cross says that you and I can be saints based on the faith and love of Jesus for us. Based on the fact that the Holy Spirit is prepared to work the nature and character of Jesus into you and me. Behold, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4 onwards. I just want to read that as a background to verse 8. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Transgressions means deliberate sin. Hello. Transgression means premeditated sin. Listen to the words. God is talking to us through grace. Even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That kindness doesn't exist without Christ Jesus. Because without Christ Jesus, God will have to deal with us by law because we have sinned. And if he deals with us by law, we are dead. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Why through faith? Because faith is substance. Provided that faith is exercised in Christ Jesus, the substance will be of Christ Jesus. Can you see that? And the substance of Christ Jesus is perfect. And grace tells you that it is very easy, theoretically, for you to receive of that substance, because all you have to do is to ensure that your heart never wavers from setting its hope on Jesus Christ. God is not asking you to balance on your head and balance on one finger and say, on that basis, I will touch you. Although sometimes we preach Christianity like that. Oh brother, you got to fast more. And the poor fellow goes and goes hangry, and he finds that it doesn't really work because he's trying his best. And the word of God already says, I'm not looking for your best. I'm looking for you to find my best. I've given you my best on the cross. And you are looking at yourself over and over again. Where do you think you're going to go? Where do you think you're going to go? I'm looking at my best that I've given you. I've given you my only begotten Son because I so loved the world. But you refuse to receive him. Jesus told the Jews, you search the scriptures, but the scriptures speak of me, but you refuse to come to me. You see, without Jesus Christ, the scriptures go nowhere. What do you want the scriptures to open to you? Without Jesus Christ, the demands of the scripture is perfection. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You are to be holy unto me because I am holy. Laws. Two for each day. And if you break one law, you've broken all of them. What do you think your chances are? Yet we teach Christians to live by principles. I'm not saying there's no principle. But there's no meaning to the principle without Jesus Christ. Yes, you must pray. But you must pray in the name of Jesus. If you pray in your name and I pray in my name, we ain't going to go anywhere. Maybe if we really try hard, we may get to the roof. Grace upon grace. That's why it's all about grace. By grace you are seated with Christ where? In the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus is a reality described by grace upon grace. Why does God talk about heavenly places? Just to tell us that no matter how hard you try, you and I ain't going to get to the heavenly places on our own steam. We are very earthbound. The law of gravity reminds us of that. Only by the Holy Spirit can you rise into the mount of the Lord and be unveiled in the heavenly places. It is a reality that is open to you and me, grace upon grace. So grace brings freedom in truth, not freedom by cop-out to the flesh. By faith. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So the word of grace, the word of His grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. Amen? Inheritance. You don't earn an inheritance. You receive an inheritance. You receive an inheritance. The inheritance is entirely described in Christ. The mystery of Christ. Why a mystery of Christ? Because Christ has to be revealed in you. So Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Where does that hope of glory come from? It comes from Jesus' words as he goes to the cross. John chapter 17, verse 22. Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. Awesome words. That is grace. Hello. The glory that thou hast given me, based on merit. Jesus Christ met the merits of the law. And he says, Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. Amen. The glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. Let's turn to Revelation 21. Verse 9. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. Whose glory did she have? The glory of God. Given to whom? Given to Jesus Christ. And given to whom? Given to us. Right? Praise the Lord. Now, what is this glory all about? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read from verse 3 to verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do we deserve this? We don't. So in Christ Jesus, it has been given to us, and only because of that. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. That is the demand. But how is that demand going to be met, that we should be holy and blameless before him? Through the substance that is of Jesus Christ, the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy. Can you see that? And how is the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy manifested unto you? Grace upon grace. Of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Listening. Yeah? That we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And when the bride is revealed, the bride will have the glory of God. How? By grace. That glory that we have is the glory of his grace. The glory of his grace is described into us through the word of his grace. Can you see that? The glory of his grace is in Christ risen and bequeathed to us as our beloved, our husband. Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that magnificent? Isn't that magnificent? Isn't that awesome? Do you realize that it can only be realized through grace? Praise the Lord. So learn to rest in the Lord and let him be God. Because believe it or not, God can do things that you and I can never even begin to do. That's what the new covenant is all about. Because Adam had rejected God. He rejected God's word to him. He had chosen to listen to a voice other than the voice of God. Now God is coming back to us and he says, after you have been tested under the law, do you understand that if I continue to test you under the law, you are dead? You are dead meat. You have absolutely no chance. So I'm coming to you back with my word. And I'm coming to you with my word of grace, and I'm reaching out to you in my grace and my mercy. I have chosen to love you. Not because you and I deserve to be loved, but because he decided that he will love us. Because when he created us when before our unformed substance, we were fashioned and formed in his heart. He knew us by name. And through his faith, he has released grace over our lives. And he's dealing with us on that basis. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Why hallowed? Because when you begin to understand the fulfillment of scripture in your heart, you will have no choice but to bow before God and say, hallowed be thy name. Because our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the only reason I'm living is because of you. What else can I tell you except to fall before you with gratitude in my heart? Because wherever we are going to be standing in the future, it is entirely based on grace. But always remember, grace is not a cop-out. Grace is based on the finished work of the cross. Grace is based on you and me accepting that finished work of the cross in our lives. And hope is designed to open that finished work of the cross into us. Simple word, hope. So that the substance of Christ will be manifested in us as the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy, to make us holy people. And as we walk in the word of his grace, God will perfect his word inside of us creatively and change us. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Powerful words. Powerful words. Grace upon grace. Isn't it awesome? So how do we have the grace of God that manifests in his glory? Through substance. The substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. We are seated with Christ. On what basis? Based on the glory of God's grace expressed towards us in the name Jesus Christ. So if you're going to share the word of God with someone, please understand this reality of grace. You have to communicate this grace into people's lives so that they understand that God's coming to them unilaterally. God is reaching out to the dying and saying, I love you. I am prepared to love you, and I am prepared to accept you from wherever you are. But you must understand that I mean to bring you to where I am. Because where you are is death. Where I am is life and blessing. And it's all by grace. Grace. Jesus Christ epitomizes grace. For the law and the prophets are fulfilled in him. How? By substance. Praise the Lord. Can you see the substance as the blueprint for a new creation? Yeah? It is like God is genetically re-engineering us. The genetic code that he is manifesting in us is called the seed of Christ. The seed of his word. I'm talking spiritually. And when you were born again, God chose to genetically engineer, re-engineer you, in literal terms, through the Spirit of Christ that has been manifested in you. He's chosen to begin a new work in you. It's a labor of love. It's not an easy work. But as we see the results of that work, that's how you're going to see God and understand that He loves me. That He's forgiven me so many ways and so many fashions, right? With so much of empathy. But the intent is that you will be seated where God wants you to be seated, in the right way, doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. So the word of His grace is tied to a person. Oftentimes we think that grace is just anointings and giftings being manifested. Don't get me wrong, they have their relevance, but without Jesus, they have got no basis of expression. So as you bring up your children, as you do the ministry of God in your own families, because the basic building block of the church is the family, please understand what the Word of God says. You can't bring up your children just based on your good intentions towards them, because our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Understand the destiny of your children. Open them to the Word of God. Open them to the anointings of God. But always teach them the crucial necessity of the name Jesus. They will understand it. If you teach them from a young age, they will understand it. If you lay hands and pray on them, and just pray to God that they will protect their hearts and their minds, God is able to do all these things. Pray the word of God over their lives. Don't pray your emotions. God cannot respond to human emotions, not on a sustainable basis. When you cry, He will respond to you in that moment of time. But on a sustainable basis, He can only respond to you on the basis of truth. And you must understand that. We can't grow as Christians out of emotional hype. Truth is not hype. Truth is not marketing. Marketing the gospel has done so much of damage to the true word of God that we are actually guilty of portraying God as a gigantic Santa Claus. And He is never like a Santa Claus. Never. He will never be anything like a Santa Claus. That He's just there to pander to our whims and fancies. No, He will not. That grace is about God pandering to our whims and fancies. Absolutely false. Grace is related to truth. Always to truth. Because without truth, there is no basis for anything. Grace is building foundations for an eternal inheritance. One last verse before we finish. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 28. Ezekiel 44, verse 28. And it shall be with regards to an inheritance for them that I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. I am is the name of God manifested to us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, the reality of who God is meant to be developed in us as a possession and as an inheritance. And that reality of the possession and the inheritance is the fulfillment of the law. Because that reality of an inheritance and that possession is based on love. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What is God saying? Your heart is designed to possess the reality of me. I'm not interested in blessing you with things. Those things will die. I am interested in blessing you with me, so that in me you can be blessed forever. And those blessings will not pass away, they will remain. Because anything that flows out of me is eternal, because I am eternal. Everything that flows out of me, says the Lord, is sustainable, because I sustain it. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will come. But they will not come to pander to the carnal nature of man. Because if they pander to the carnal nature of man, people will die. And in church history, we have seen that being repeated time after time after time, generation after generation after generation. Every time we interpret the scriptures for our carnal ambitions, people die because of that. And nothing has changed. Is God good? Yes, He is good. But He is not good in the way we think we are good. Daddy, I need this. We go around and we buy this and we buy that and we just simply give it. And we think we love them. God doesn't give something that will pass away. God doesn't give something that will spoil someone. As we grow in God, we are learning how to function grace upon grace. Freely we have received, freely we shall give. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Precious and Holy Father, we stand before you asking that your Spirit, who is the Spirit of grace, will convict us of the treasures of your grace that you have given us in your precious Son. That you are able to give to us exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think. That you are able to give to us at the speed of thought, Lord. That you are able to respond to us at the speed of thought. That you are willing to respond to us at the speed of thought. When our thoughts are right before you, when our thoughts have matured before you, you answer us immediately, O Lord. So often we think that you are far away from us, not understanding that you are waiting for our thoughts to be matured in line with your will, so that you can bless us with the blessings that will stand in the heavenly places, so that we will be seated with Christ and we will reign with Christ, that we will be able to stand knowing that we have been built on the rock that is Jesus Christ. The revelation of Him who has been given to us as an inheritance and a possession. Grace upon grace. His fullness in substance. His fullness unveiled in witness within us. O Lord, we ask you that by your Spirit you will teach us to realize this grace in truth. To understand, O God, that this reality of your grace has been opened to us in very simple terms. That out of hope, we can realize the substance of a faith that will manifest us in righteousness. That in that faith that comes in the substance of Jesus Christ, we can start learning how to do things the right way. And when we learn how to do things the right way, we will begin to realize how awesome is the love that has enabled us to walk in that reality. And as we become your righteousness in Christ Jesus, we will also come to fall in love with you, Lord. Because we will begin to understand that you have worked an impossibility into our lives. As we come to love you, that's when we will realize that we truly need to be set apart unto you, Lord. To be sanctified as a holy people unto you. And that will flow out of us simply because we have begun to love you. And when we begin to love you, we will then cling to you. So Father, work this entire process of grace into us, so that we will realize what you have freely given to us in the finished work of the cross. So Holy Spirit, we pray that you will teach us in the innermost parts of our being, that you will teach us by writing the Word of God into our hearts, writing it by the finger of God, manifesting it in the substance of the Master's fullness, so that we will have fleshly tablets of human hearts written upon by the finger of God, that we will become ministers of the new covenant as we realize what you have done for us, Lord, in your righteousness, in expressing your great and immeasurable love. Oh God, come and open our hearts that we will see that nothing is impossible to us through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing is impossible to us. So come, Holy Spirit, and convict us in the grace that flows out of the Word of God. The grace that is able to build us up so that we will receive, realize, and express this inheritance that is packaged in Christ Jesus. This inheritance that the prophet Isaiah said is wonderful. The reality of the mighty God. The reality of the eternal Father. The reality of the Prince of Peace, our beloved, our husband, who has loved us, O God, with all of his being. And he didn't just say that, O God. He proved it through the cross. And in his shed blood, we have the reality of his faith and his love that will make us a holy people. And we will be a new creation. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the kind intentions of your will. We thank you for the glory of your grace. We look forward to having your glory within us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We will celebrate Holy Communion. As we talked about the bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy, this is what we celebrate in Holy Communion. It's a Passover, and it's a Passover that God has designed in substance. I just want to talk about that. Chapter 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. If you look at the Old Testament, you will find that the feast of the unleavened bread, which was celebrated over 7 days, was after the feast of the Passover. They were not the same thing. But here, the Holy Spirit, through Luke, tells us that the feast of the unleavened bread is tied to the Passover. Now, there is a verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, which says that we celebrate the feast in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, this is how God manifests his Passover, grace upon grace. In the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God's required response from you is to respond to him with sincerity. No matter what you and I have done, he wants us to turn to him sincerely and ask him for his help. Ask him to do with us what we can't do. He wants us to appropriate the grace that is available to us in resurrection power. He wants us to appropriate by grace the faith and the love and the character and nature of Jesus that are available to us so that this Passover will be fulfilled in our lives. Are you listening, brethren? Don't listen to this by law. It's not about law. When I became a Christian, I was an alcoholic. I couldn't stop drinking. And God said, I have a calling. I said, that's absurd. I can't even think straight. I can't even do basic things that are right. God can save us. Thank God for that. God can do with us what our minds cannot conceive. God can enable us to do things that our minds cannot conceive. That's what God is all about. Christianity is a God reality. And God comes to us by grace. Isn't that wonderful? He just says, don't bluff me. Don't try and pretend before me. That's all. I know you are sinful. I know you have got lust in your heart. I know you are full of pride and arrogance. But I want you to know that I can change you. I want you to know that I can create in you a clean heart. David sensed that when he sinned against God. He said, oh God, create in me a clean heart. He said, save me, O God, by thy name. Save me by who you are and by all that you are. Vindicate me by your power, because I'm powerless in the face of sin. Aren't you helpless? I am. But through Christ who strengthens me and Christ who strengthens you, we can do all things. We got to put our heart on the word. O God, do with me what I can't conceive of doing. Enable me to become what I can't conceive myself becoming. Teach me to love good things instead of evil things. Teach me to want to hear your holy word. Teach me to understand it. Teach me to accept it. Enable my heart to want it. Transform my soul. Give me the desire that wants good things instead of crooked things. Release me from the love of money and enable me to love you. Because I can't think straight. But you can. You can do all things. Nothing is impossible to you, Father. So come and save me. Come and change me. Come and make me the son that you see me as. Because I can't see. I live in a world of darkness. I live in the world where the waters are poisoned. Nothing is real. The reality of this world is all darkness. Oh God, help me. You are the light. It is written in your word. Manifest that light in my heart that I can see. Manifest that light in my heart that I can pass over into a different reality. That I can see things beyond the darkness of this world. That I can be filled with your hope. That I can be strengthened in your love. Come and save me, my Father. Come and save me through Jesus Christ. I need this. Look after my children, Lord. I want them to be in your house. I want them to stand before you. I don't want them to be lost. I do not know how to touch them in the way that only you can. I do not know what's happening inside their hearts and their minds, but I know you do. So in the name of Jesus, I claim salvation for their lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the glory of your grace to be worked into their lives. That they will stand before you and they will worship you with awe. I give you my children. I bequeath my spouse to you. That he or she will stand before you. In the glory of your grace. Have mercy, Lord. See, turn to the Lord in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And keep on doing it. That's how you express your hope. Hope is not just a passing emotion. Hope is that which does not shake. If you've done something wrong, turn to the Lord with hope, because the sin offering is fulfilled. That's why this Passover is there. This Passover is there by sacrifice. The reason why this Passover is there is because all five offerings have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So God opens to us the Passover. And he opens to us the Passover in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Come to me. Ask me to save you. I ask you to ask me simply because that you will know that it is I who have saved you, and you will not forget that, because if you forget me, you will die. To understand this, let's just turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 8, verse 10 onwards. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 onwards. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I am commanding you today. Today, we walk into this reality of the commandments, the ordinances, by realizing that which is of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now, bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, was manifested in a Passover. Spiritually speaking, we are celebrating the Passover because we are born again. Yeah? And God is saying, you deal with me in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He never said, I will deal with you only if you are sinless. But he said, you deal with me in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth because I am able to change your heart. Do we sin? Yes, we sin. You sin and I sin. But the point is this, when you sin, do you turn to the Lord? And do you ask him to help you? Do you attempt to take hold of a new life by drawing strength from him, or do you try your best? What do you respond to? The fact that there is grace, or the fact that you are under the law? So many Christians respond to God under the law. I will try my best, Lord. But if you respond by grace, oh God, you can change me. Enable me to change. Enable me not to desire those things that are not right. Give me the strength to turn away from them. How else are you going to discover God? It's only out of those things. That's how you build relationship with God. And when you realize strength from the Lord and you start doing things that you never thought you would do, that's when you realize God is real. I can live by him. He is my life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, it takes time, but it will surely come forth. That's why we celebrate Holy Communion, for what has come forth. But we are not only talking about what has come forth, we are also talking about what will come forth prophetically. So when God presents his word to us in the epistles, he talks to us as saints. Saints mean spotless, without blemish, sinless. What is he talking to us about? He's talking to us prophetically. Why is he talking to us prophetically? Because he's able to do that. If he was talking to you by law, he will turn around and tell you, like he was telling the Jews, that you are sinful people, you are hard-hearted people. Have you read the Old Testament? All that comes into your heart is evil. How come he doesn't talk to us like that in the New Testament? Why does he call us saints? Why does he tell us that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing? Why does Jesus say with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you? Because Jesus sees the power of God being released in his name. He sees the power of his resurrection being manifested in our lives. See, we are a prophetic people. The word of God is prophetic. It's a very exciting word, prophetic. That which is meant to be fulfilled in your life and my life. The heart of Christianity is realizing what God wants to fulfill in you. Not going through the burdens of trying your best. We have done that in the world. For how many years we have been doing that? Aren't you tired of it? Luke 22. And when the hour had come, verse 14, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. In the New King James it is written, with fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. When does Jesus eat this Passover with you? Christ in me, the hope of glory. He shares your life with you. It's a very deep intimacy. You abide in him and he abides in you. Yet he does that in spite of the fact that we are sinful, in spite of the fact that we have many flaws. And he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Fulfilled, brethren. The word of his grace is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Thus says the Lord. That's why Jesus had fervent desire in his heart, because he knew the word of God's grace. And he had come to communicate that word of his grace into your life and my life. And behold, new things have come. Behold. So read the word of God and listen. As the substance manifests, your ability to see, your ability to understand, your ability to perceive will automatically grow. God is good. Praise the Lord. Do you know that in the idea of substance, God is literally telling us that it that groweth in God is limitless? If you and I can continue to receive substance through setting our hope in the Lord, that process is theoretically limitless. Theoretically, it is limitless. There are no boundaries. The only boundaries are it must be in conformance to Christ Jesus. But from then on, it's open-ended, but always in conformance to Christ. Why? Because Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The intent of that substance is to enable you to inherit the prophets, the blessings that are inherently woven inside the prophets. Humongous blessings. Nations will walk in your rising. Come on, guys. We talk about ambition. How small our ambitions are compared to the ambitions of God in his word. Oh, my son is a doctor. Big deal. Your father in heaven says, my son is going to be a king and nations will walk in the light of his rising. We can't hear that. We insist on bringing up our children with our ambitions. How small we are. Why is it possible? Because of substance. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. What is that cup? The witness of Jesus Christ in blood, water, and spirit. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Where is the kingdom of God going to come? In you, amongst us. As the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places. We will reign. Nobody is going to stop that. Lucy can dance until the cows come in. And we will kick him in the teeth. It is written. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it. You see, he comes back to fundamentals. Why does he take the bread? Because this bread is going to be the basis for the creation of you and me. That's why. And because this bread is consecrated bread, because this bread is the bread of the presence, because this bread is the hidden manna of his name, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In this bread you will become a living member of my body, able to function in my name, able to receive all things that flow from me because I am the head, he says. He is the head of the body. How big is God's ambition? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22 and verse 23. And he put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet, his feet, Jesus' feet, and gave Jesus as head over all things to the church. How do you like that? Provided Jesus is head, the church can be in charge of all things. What is the church? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. How is the fullness of him manifested to us? In bread, substance. The little boy brought 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus broke the bread and it multiplied. What was left? 12 baskets full. 12 represents the church. How is the church going to be built? Out of this bread. Consecrated bread. Whose consecrated bread? The bread of his body. You listening? We're talking spiritual language here. To understand that, you need to understand this word substance, all right? That's what God is giving us. The bread of the holy, the bread of the most holy. When you eat bread in the natural, what does it become? A part of your body. Can you find out where the bread went? It is actually manifested in your body. Yeah, that's the picture. That's why God uses that kind of language. I am the bread of life. Why is he trying to say that? As you eat bread in the natural and it sustains your body and become parts of your muscles, your tissues, your cells. The same way, if you eat of me, you will be fashioned and formed into a new being. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. When you eat bread, aren't you strengthened? Verse 20, and in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you. Poured out for whom? Poured out for you and for me. Is the new covenant in my blood. That new covenant is an oath. An oath given to us in his blood. An oath so complex that it is a phenomenal blessing. If we put all our brains together, rolled it up into one big brain, we still wouldn't have enough intelligence to understand how profound is the covenant of God over our lives. If we did that with our whole human race, those who are on earth and those who are in heaven, it still wouldn't be enough to fathom what is the depth of the Father's heart. For what is this love that he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? We hardly know what that means. One day we will shine as morning stars, and everything that shines out of us will be a proclamation of this one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever receiveth him or believeth him in him will have eternal life. Shall we pray? Precious and holy Father, we thank you for the glory of your grace. As we partake of this Holy Communion, we are partaking of the glory of your grace manifested to us through the word of his grace, word of your grace, given to us in Jesus Christ, manifested to us in these elements of bread and wine prophetically, so that we will have the glory of God as we realize of what the Master gave us as he went to the cross. We bring those words before you in remembrance. He said, Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. Father, we don't comprehend such love because it is so much beyond our thoughts, Lord. But at this point, we can read the words. But one day those words will live through our lives. One day those words will be expressed as we worship you in spirit and in truth. One day those words will live through everything that we do in thought, word, and in deed. And when that comes, we would have realized the awesome miracle that you have fashioned in giving us your Son. We thank you. We thank you for what is the intention of your heart. We thank you that it is your intent to manifest your glory into our beings, that we will unveil as morning stars as the word of your grace is brought to fulfillment in our hearts. So bless and sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit the unveiling of the glory of your grace through the substance of the word of your grace. Let it be communicated to us by your Spirit of grace, Lord, so that we will realize grace upon grace in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And please, Father, enable us to glorify you. Enable us not to forget. Enable us not to turn out to be ungrateful. Enable us, O God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for the work and ministry of your Holy Spirit in manifesting the implanted word into us, so that we will realize that which is of you, and realize by grace in a living rest that you have fully provided for each one of us in the glory of your grace, that you have provided for us grace upon grace, the fullness of Jesus Christ. You have provided us by grace through your Spirit, O God, all that is in Christ Jesus. And as we respond to you, as we set our hope on you, all that your Spirit is charged with unveiling into us in Jesus' name, in the merits of the Lamb, is going to be made manifest in your timing over our lives. It is your appointed times over our life that we should seek to receive, realize, and walk into, Father. We thank you that you are dealing with us on the basis of appointed times. We pray for those appointed times that first began when we were born again, to be developed in our lives in your calendar of creation in each one of us. We thank you that you have a plan. We thank you that by your Spirit, in the merits of the Lamb, we can respond to that plan. We thank you that that plan is given to us and it stands on the basis of grace. We thank you we don't have to earn it, Lord, because we are tired of earning things out of our own hard work. And so much of our life has been wasted on just trying our best and realizing that the future that our best earns doesn't really stand the test of time. So we thank you for your word that is given to us on the basis of grace. And we thank you that if your word is worked into us on the basis of grace, then all things are possible to us, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand. And now may the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you, remain in you, grow in you. May you realize the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, so that you will realize the treasures of the Son, so that you will realize the ability to walk in a newness and an abundance, so that you will become the blessing that the Lord your God has ordained you to be in His ambition over your life. Arise, brethren, go forth. You are blessed. You are blessed in the heavenly places. You are blessed as sons of the living God. You are blessed as a royal priesthood. You are blessed as kings before the Lord your God. Arise and walk into your destiny. Do not have fear in your heart. Go forth, for your Father stands over your life always. Go forth in the name of Jesus and walk into your destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If anyone needs prayer...